You know, I've been thinking about what should I talk about today? You know, we live in a world that's fast-paced, right? School is coming up. You know, it's funny, it used to be like school supply was like pencils and papers and paper clips and things like that. Now our school supply is a laptop, a Chromebook. I'm like, where are they getting this from? Who has this kind of money to buy all these things for kids, right? So we're changing time, family. We have less time to get together. It's so hard to get together. It's so hard to come together and pray and read the Bible. It's so hard to keep up with technology. You know, I recently got on Instagram. And I was like, I don't know how to work this. I had my daughters help me out with how to do this thing. And they're like, do this. And I'm like, wait, slow down. I can't keep up with that. And so it's so hard to keep up with just technology, social media. You know, we're trying to keep up with school, with jobs, with our careers. You know, our kids. Our kids are growing up very fast. It's hard to keep up with them. Our parents, our family groups. They're meeting here and there. We're trying to keep up with all of them. We're doing Save People. It's amazing that we're doing Save People. I encourage you guys to go. It's great. You know, sometimes we're just stomping out the fire that is around us, right? Because there's so many things going on. I'm just stomping out the fire that is burning right here. I'm not really thinking about the future. I'm not thinking about what's going to happen 10, 20 years from now. I'm just stomping out what's immediately happening right here. But today, I'm not going to talk about slowing down. I'm not going to talk about slowing down in your life. I'm going to talk about your focus. What are you focusing on? It's not about slowing down. It's about what are you focusing on. So today, as we don't have the screen, we're going to go old school, all right? So you guys are going to have to keep up with me and follow and... Because, you know, sometimes we're so used to just seeing this, we just kind of, you know, we're not listening anymore. We're so visual, right? So today, it's going to be a test of listening and being engaged, all right? So turn with me to Luke chapter 5. The title today is Deeper Water. Luke chapter 5. What drives you? What is it that drives you? What motivates you? Why do you do the things that you do? Today, I want us to be honest, okay? I want us to be honest to ourselves. Why do I do the things that I do? Because if we're not honest, we're going to walk out of here and really don't get the help that we need. You know, it's like going to a psychologist or a psychiatrist and telling them false things about you and hoping they will give you the right diagnosis. You're telling them false things about you, hoping they will give you the right diagnosis. So today, I want us to be honest to ourselves. Because the truth, if we don't, it'll get worse. Is it money? Is money your motivating factor? I'm scared to be poor. I want to give my children the best things, the things that I never got. Is it money? Is it the image that you want to portray? Is it the career? Am I chasing this career? This is really important to me. I'm trying to climb the corporate ladder. Career, is that your motivation? Is it the material things? Is it the house? Is it the cars? I need to keep up these things. I need to get a bigger car, a bigger house, bigger swimming pool. I need to go to a different, I need to live in a school district that is, will be beneficial for my kids. Is it the material things? And kids, is it the grades? I want to get good grades so I can go to college, so I can make lots of money. I want to please my parents. Is it success? Is it the good life? I want to have a good life. That's what motivates me. That's what I want to do, is I want to have a good life. Is it relationship? You know, relationship drives me. Do I want this relationship that's driving me? Let's look in Luke chapter 5 here. We're starting verse 1. It says, one day as Jesus was standing near the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we have worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you said so, I will let down the net. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the son of Zebedee, Simon's partner. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up to shores, left everything, and followed him. My first point here is see the real Jesus. Do you see the real Jesus? The truth is you will become the disciple of the gospel you believe. The question is your gospel the correct gospel? Because you will become that disciple that you believe in that gospel. Is it distorted? You know, I listen to a lot of sermon, a lot of what's going on in our church, and a lot of time, it's just good sounding philosophies with a little bit of biblical thing in it, sprinkle around it. And it sounds good, but it doesn't give you any power. You feel good, but it doesn't do anything for you. Is your gospel the correct gospel? Are you seeing it with tainted lenses in your eyes and you don't really see the real God, the real Jesus? Having a form of godliness but denying its power. You know, I grew up going to church 3-4 times a week, but I never knew the Jesus from the Bible. I knew Jesus, what people were saying, people were teaching, but I never saw the Jesus from the Bible. Until I got into the Bible and really looked it out and studied it out. Who is this guy? You know, my family, like I shared this with the brothers about a month ago. My family and I, we like going on vacation. And every time we go on vacation, we stop at these rest areas, right? We stop at this area and then we use the restroom. And then every time we come out, my daughter would say, hey, Dad, come with me. Where are you taking me? Come with me. So we go down the path, and we turn the path, and we see this humongous vending machine. It's these vending machines, and she goes up there and like, what do I want? What do I want? You're paying for this, right, Dad? You're like, okay. And we punch in the thing, and you know how that thing spins? And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, it's not gonna make it. And I'm shaking the thing like, come on, vending machine, don't let me down. And we open it up, grab the thing, and you know, we eat it. But you know how sometimes God can be a vending machine to us. God can be like, geez, God, I've done this. Let me put in my good things. Okay, now your turn, God. Show me. And it's when it starts spinning and it's not coming out, you're like, God, come on. Come on, God. Give it to me. And God can be a vending machine. If we're not careful, God can be a vending machine. We will believe in the inverted gospel, where we go out about our lives doing what we want to do, and we just invite God to follow us. We're not following God. God is following us. And so when we need something, hey, God, what about this? Hey, I need this job. Please, God. I'm not following you, but please, you know, give me this. Is he a vending machine to us? Jesus says here, put out to deep water and let down the nets for a catch. See, in order to follow Jesus, you must be willing to go into deeper water. Some of us are still on the shore year after year. We're at the shore. We might go down to our knees, but we're not in the deep. See, when you're in the deep, you no longer touch the ground. It's either sink or swim. It's either God rescue me or I'm going to drown. And that's scary. See, but if you don't go into the deep, you won't find Jesus. Is your walk too easy? Is your walk too comfortable? Very little difference from the world. Then you're not in the deep. And that's why you're a mile wide and an inch deep. We do a gazillion things, but we are an inch deep when it comes to God. See, we got to be willing to go into the deep water. Turn over with me to Galatians here. Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Oh, I'm going to go there. Galatians 5, chapter 9, verse 19. It says, the acts of the flesh or the sinful nature are obvious. It's obvious. It's black and white. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discords, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, faction, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, we hear this all the time. We study about people, and we're saying, hey, non-Christian, are you sexually immoral? Hey, are you impure? You need to stop. But you know, the truth is God is writing this to the church in Galatia. He's writing to the Christians. He said, Christians, sometimes we think it's for the non-Christian, but it's for us. We think, hey, Mr. Non-Christian, you got to stop doing this. But what about you, Mr. Christian? Are you sexually immoral? Are you impure? Are you in debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft? What about you, Mr. Christian? You know, we have, I think so many of us, we have PhDs in rationalization. We can rationalize anything. Well, we love each other. That makes it okay. You know, we're going to get married. That makes it okay. Well, you know, I was just going to the party to share my faith with these people. I wasn't going to get involved in all that stuff. I'm just going to be there. What about you, Mr. Christian? It says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. Are you being persecuted for your love for God? It said, you know, Matthew says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Are you thirsty? Are you hungry for righteousness? Or are you trying to get to the edge as close as you can to the edge without going over? See, are you in the deep water? Or are you just on the shore playing? You know, the problem, like we said, the problem is not the problem. The problem is your attitude about the problem. Is your attitude about the problem. You know, how many of us ate breakfast this morning? Okay. How many of us did not eat breakfast this morning? Okay. Wow, that's about half. I guarantee you that if you did not eat breakfast, that you're thinking about, what's for lunch? Well, what's for dinner? So you're hungry. You know, you think about you. If you don't eat, if you don't eat breakfast, if you don't eat lunch, you're going to go hungry, right? And your mind, you're going to think about that. And you're going to like, when can I eat lunch? When can I eat dinner? What am I going to eat? And it says here, it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Do you feel poor? Do you feel poor in your spirit that you need that spirit? You need it. You're hungry for it. You know, I have a friend. He was here early. He left. But, you know, he's become one of my best friends. And we've been studying the Bible. And, you know, we got together the other day. And he said, I said, hey, so how's reading your Bible? He said, I finished Genesis. I'm on to Exodus. I'm like, you're going to read the whole Bible from the start? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, that's awesome. You know, they're not in chronological order, right? He's like, yeah, I know that. And but that was his heart. He's like, I'm hungry for this. Every time we get together, it's like, hey, when can we get together again? He's like, I'm loving it. This is amazing. Are we feeling like that? When we get into God, when you get into his word, see the real Jesus. You know, your purpose is different than that of Jesus. When you don't see the real Jesus. His purpose is to seek and save what is lost. To restore a broken relationship between God and people. You know, it says here in Simon, it says, you know, Jesus says, Simon, put out to deep water. Let down the net. And Simon says, Master, we work hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the net. You see, part of lordship is obedience. How is your love for God? Are we living the inverted gospel where God is just following you? You know, I don't want to shame us. I don't want to guilt us. But you think about, you know, are you seeking first the kingdom? Is that in the forefront of your mind? My boss have told me before, he's like, you know, hey, we used to meet on Thursday, if you guys remember. And he would say, hey, I need you to work on Thursday. And I'm like, no, I can't work on Thursday. But we really need this project to go. This is really important. Well, I said, I'll come early in the morning then. And he was frustrated. He's like, hey, how can I get you to stay later on Thursday? Do you need more money? We'll pay you more money. I'm like, no, I don't need money. I'll just come in early the next day and finish up. And he doesn't get it. But people in the world don't get it when you're seeking first the kingdom, right? You don't take jobs that are conflicting with the kingdom, with the body. You don't take pay. We take pay cuts so that we can be with God in his body. Am I seeking first the kingdom? Or am I just living and having God just follow me? Serving. Are we serving? Are we giving our hearts? You know, I've heard people who've been in the kids' kingdom multiple rotation, and I'm thinking, why? There's so many of us. There shouldn't be multiple rotation that you're on in kids' kingdom. We need to serve. Our kids is the future. I look at the kids up here doing, you know, their instrument, giving their talent to God to serve us. Let us serve them. What about serving? What about praying? Do I just pray when I have time? Do I just pray when I'm driving to work? When I'm, you know, when I'm free? Or is it your desperation? I need to pray. I need to talk to God. I need to connect with God. Part of lordship is obedience. Let me ask you this. How do you know when you're not in deep water with Jesus? When you're not in the deep? You know that you're not in the deep when the things of God is what you do. It is not who you are. The things of God is just what you do. It's not who you are. That's when you know I'm not in the deep. I'm just in the shallow. I'm just being here. I'm not in the deep with God. You know, people can argue about doctrines. People can argue about so many things, but they cannot argue life. They can see your life, and they can say, I know that that is a true disciple of Jesus. If we were to follow you and with camera, will we know by the end of the week that this person is a disciple of Jesus? Or will we be confused? Will we be like, hey, they go to church? They don't pray? They read their Bible when they can? They're not really seeking the kingdom? They're not really serving? They have here and there. But do we see a 100% sold out person for God? What will we see at the end of the week? See the real Jesus. Then you can see the real you. So the number two here, see the real you. See the real you. Verse 8, it says, Simon Peter saw this. He fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. He says, he ran up to Jesus and fell down at his feet and says, go away from me. I am a sinful man. Do you see your need to change? Do you see your need to change? You cannot change if you're not aware that you need to change. You have to have that acknowledgement that you need to change. The first step in seeing your faults and your shortcoming and your need, being aware, is 50%. The other 50% is doing something about it. Right? We got to see our need. But just what Steve was saying up here, a change starts with us, with you, individually. You know, we like to blame others for our conditions, right? We like to blame generations. Well, that old generation, they don't know anything. That old generation, they're old-fashioned. And then that young generation, they're so entitled. We can't get through to them. We blame generations. We blame our parents. Well, my parents did this, and they did that. And, you know, if I had a different parents, I would have turned out differently. We blame our spouse. You know, if I marry the right person, if he would just lead me, we would do great things for God. If he would just lead me. The truth is, you won't let him lead. The truth is, sometimes you're afraid and you grab, you know, the steering wheel. And sometimes, you know, if she would just submit to me and listen to me, we would be great. But you don't even hear her out. You don't listen to her. She's afraid. If I just had the right kids, the right boss, if I just had the right teachers or the right friends and situations, then I'll change. Then I'll be great. You know, we like to blame others. Jesus says, it is not the healthy who needs a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. Do you know that you are sick? Your heart is empty. You're running on fume. You're tired and you're weary. You're hurting so bad on the inside, but the outside you make it like, I'm okay. You lost hope. I've lost hope about my marriage. I've lost hope about my kids. I've lost hope. We're just living day by day. Is that you? You got to acknowledge that. And then Jesus said to Simon, here's what he said to Simon. He says, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. You know, Jesus saw his fear. He saw his sinfulness. You know, Peter was thinking, I'm not good enough. Get away from me, God. Get away from me, Jesus. I'm not good enough. If you knew who I am, you would run from me. Jesus, don't be afraid. See, fear is based on regrets and failures. We lack confidence because of regrets and failures. You know, our life has never turned out to be what we thought it would be. You know how we thought our life would be like this, and it's never turned out to be like that. And we regret, and we have fear. And we're saying, Jesus, I'm sinful. You know, I think we must separate our courage from our conditions. We got to learn how to separate our courage from our condition. You know, if our courage is tied to our bank account, then when our bank account goes down, our courage goes down too. If our courage is tied up to relationships, then when that relationship doesn't work out, our courage goes down. And if our courage is tied up to leaders, then when that leader messes up or falls, then our courage goes down. See, we got to separate our courage from our conditions. You know, the condition might be out of our control. But courage, we can control that. I think we got to stop praying, God, give me courage. Give me courage, God. He's saying, I gave you courage already. You need to use it. Use the courage I've already given you. Use the faith I've given you. You see, we believe in our fear. We believe in our doubts. We survey our conditions. And it looks bad sometimes. You cannot fix your condition. All you can do is focus on your courage and your faith. You know, worries have babies. Worries have babies. And these babies, they grow up, but they don't leave you. They stay with you. See, what are worry babies in your life? We're worrying about so many things. We worry about the things that we shouldn't worry about, but then we worry about that because we're not sure if we should worry about that. They have babies, and they won't leave you. You know, Jesus says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus says, take heart. I have overcome the world. Remain in me. I want to let you know that Jesus loves you beyond your sins, beyond your faults, beyond who you are. He's passionately in love with you. He's just not a little in love with you. He is passionately in love with you. It's like winning the Super Bowl a million times. He loves you so much. Let's not be a mile wide and an inch deep. Let us go out to the deep water where your feet no longer touch the bottom. There you will find Jesus. Go out to the deep water. Don't stay by the shore where it's safe. Don't give in. Don't give up. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. When this life is over, we will be with him. Stay faithful. Don't give up and don't give in. You know, I love you guys so much. You guys are amazing, bunch of people. And I know God's going to do great things in the years to come. And it's as many people come to know God, and they will come and see this amazing family and want to be part of this, be part of God's kingdom. So as we leave today, I want us to think about how can I go deeper with God? What can I do to grow my love for him and not just be where I'm at year after year, week after week? I need to grow my love for God. Thank you so much. God bless.